Is it too high or am I okay? I would like to open just a brief testimony of my life and our life as a family as we come to know our Savior Jesus. As we travel, I'll just share a little bit. As we're getting older, my wife and I, by God's grace, we celebrated our 35th year of marriage, and we're still behind Nate and Darla there. We're trying to catch up, but hopefully they can, too, have many years yet. As a young man of 15 or so, I'll share a little of my personal life and a little of our family as I share here, so it'd be sort of a mix. But 15 or so, I was growing up in a setting that had very little teaching, as you children get today. It's very, very much a treasure, so treasure it. I began to read a small blue book. All of our services was in German, and I understand many of you come from settings like that too. Nothing wrong with German. It's a blessed language, just like English. But as many can testify, we've moved away from that in our settings, and English has become our language of understanding. And in that blue book, there was a rules of a godly life. My grandmother gave that to me. And isn't that something? And she, I believe, was a born-again person when she died. Just by her testimony, she had a very meek and humble spirit. And she used to always share a verse. And she would handwrite it in my birthday card and give me a few dollars in that. And I don't think she ever missed until I was like 15, 16. I believe she always gave me a card. So we think sometimes the little things that we do in life may not amount to much, but that little act of love my grandma showed there, and just, I always remember it was a handwritten verse out of the Bible. So it was precious to me. So God used that, and I started reading in the back there, the rules of a godly life. It just taught us who to fellowship with, who to stay away from, and it was mainly written by man, but it was condensed. It was God's heart out of the Bible. At 19, I began to read a magazine. I grew up on a farm, and at 19, I went to work part-time. And I would pack my lunch, and I used to put a magazine in there. It was a Worldwide Church of God. But think how hungry I was. And that magazine was mostly focused on revelations and prophecy. It was largely on prophecy. But then a little later, after we were married, I don't know how it came about, but a magazine, Literature by Billy Graham, somehow came into my life. And I started reading that, and God was using this to lead my life, I believe, as I look back. But that's how empty it seemed to be of our teaching. We were taught many good things at home, and I don't want to run our setting down by any means, but yet I was looking for specifics and something that I could grow in God. At 22, we were married, and life went on. So I will fast forward about 15 years, or about 37 years old, revival went through our community, and we were on the sidelines. We were invited by some to come to these meetings. They were Bible studies and singings in our community, the Amish setting there. But we didn't know quite what to think of all of it. God still was working in our lives. And the one time one of our neighbors came over and he said, well, come to one of these meetings, and I wasn't open to it. 2 years later, the Lord continued to work in our lives, and we started attending a New Order setting. We had a New Order Amish setting there. We drove our horse and buggies. We sang in English, and we taught in English, and it was a very blessed time. My life really grew, I believe, in those couple years. Then we began to understand what the Lord wanted from our lives. You know, things started to become clear. We had good messages in English, and the reality of God's heart for us just jumped out to us. And the singing seemed like it was alive. It just was so real. But I always enjoyed singing out of the Ausbund. That was a German hymn book that we used in our setting there. And I often remember a song that was very much a blessing. I could understand the words. Wer kann ich aussaugen, Hausacker Viper kennt, kann ich mein Jünger sein. And many of you may understand that. Well, who cannot reject all, cannot be my disciple, is what it would say in English. So about 16 years ago, I personally and my wife, we had a believer's baptism in the setting that we're in now. My conversion, I believe, was accumulated at that time. God did a work. It wasn't instantaneous, but he was working in us in all these years in my life and my heart. I was sitting here this morning. I thought I would share just briefly. My heart today is encourage us all in the walk with God. God is real. He's just as real as he was when Abraham took his son up on the mountain and he had the knife in the air. He was about to slay his son because he had faith in God that God would still provide, even if he would take his son's life. And that's my heart today, that I could just inspire us all here today. Why do groups of people fall away from God and start loving the world? I believe it's because they walk away with a true walk. They walk away from a true walk with the one that created them. And that's what we want to pursue as we travel through life. We have a corporate responsibility. We have a personal responsibility. And I'll just share a little our family's trip. You think, as I share, we left one setting. And I believe that was one of the biggest decisions that God took me through as a leader of our home. The pulling power that we had to overcome by God's grace to leave a setting of 17 years, and we had our 6 children by that time. And I had a great desire to see our family prosper and not fall away, and my wife too. We had a great burden that we'd make a misstep and somehow we would flounder and things would go completely wrong. But we knelt in our kitchen the morning that our new order setting did not work out, and I won't go into detail there, but so we were deciding, are we going to walk with these other people that did not have leadership? There was no ordained men there at that time. And here I was taking my family, but I felt a calling there that I believe they were the people that were there were God's children. But it was a very big decision. And so we just petitioned God. We knelt as a family in the middle of our kitchen there. I remember that morning very clearly. And our children were longing for fellowship. We stayed at home about 6 weeks. And our oldest daughter was saying that, you know, Dad, we need to make a decision here. And I knew we did, but yet it was a big decision. In the new order setting, we still drove our horse and buggies, and God hadn't taken me through that yet. Transportation is transportation. Never had a driver's license, so, you know, there's all things that we had to consider. But as we know now, as children of God, they're neither here nor there as we walk with him. So we were blessed that we finally made that decision. We drove our horse and buggy to that group for some time, a number of weeks. And then our oldest son, he had a driver's license, and he started hauling our family to the gathering, and things kept moving on. Finally, our lead elder there was ordained, and then maybe 2-3 years later, we had another 2 elders ordained, and things were coming together. But I believe all through all of that, God took us through to increase our faith and our trust in him. I wanted something different. I knew we needed something different. But yet, we had to be willing, and God was able to lead us if we are willing, and he did. Today, we have 4 of our children married, and we have grandchildren, a grandchild now that's 10 years old, and I just rejoice. As the Bible says, that we rejoice when our children walk in the truth, and I just thank the Lord. I just give him all the glory and all the honor for what he has done in our family, in my life and my wife here. So that's a brief outline of our journey of faith as we travel along. But you children now, maybe your parents went through something similar. And we shouldn't recount these things and have one iota of bitterness in our heart because of the things we went through, but just recount them so that our children can also maybe get a glimpse of some of the things that we did so that we could walk nearer to the God that created us. So I was thinking of what I could share. A month or so ago, I passed another milestone. I had a birthday September 4th, and I know that I'm growing older, and I just asked the Lord, if you could use me a little bit more in your kingdom, I would desire to be used in some manner or form. So I look at this morning, maybe just one of those times that God is opening a door here, and none to my glory. I just desire to inspire you to all to press on in that faith that we can have in Christ Jesus. And the thought was today, as we traveled in this new setting, it was a lot of unsettling moments that we just, I found myself often, I'd go home from church and spend a few moments as I started my chores in the evening, just kneeling in behind the barn and asking God to lead us, because it didn't just all happen overnight. And it took faith even after we were there. And that was good for me. It was something that increased my personal faith. As we look back now, we have a blessed youth group that really is desiring to serve God. And I was thinking yesterday it'd be a blessing that we could maybe share together. So maybe some Sunday a couple of vans could come here and we could just have a fellowship of the youth. It would be a blessing, I believe. But Ephesians 4:14, that we, what we seen was a lot of people were thrown about by winds of doctrine. We heard that earlier this morning, the one that had the opening there, he talked a little about that. I'll read it here. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And I just had a couple thoughts on that. There was much of that went on as we struggled to find our way to truly walk with the Lord Jesus and yet have a way that could endure as we traveled on. There were, I think of one doctrine, you know, Jesus gives us freedom. He certainly does. He takes away that burden of sin. He gives us a new beginning and a new life, and we truly are free. But we're not free to serve this flesh. We're free to serve him and be free of that burden of sin. That was one doctrine, I believe, that really went through the group of people, is that somehow we're free. We can throw off all kinds of things that we were good in the past, and we can just get rid of this, and we can get rid of that, and somehow in the end of our life, we'll turn out right. And I don't believe that is a doctrine that will definitely does not endure. But rather that we would be as in 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. As we labor, raising our families, a lot of the work takes much prayer and God's grace. But as we labor in the Lord, here in the church, corporately, or in our personal lives, or in the lives of our children, that labor will not be in vain, the time we invest. And so that's my encouragement today. That'll be the focus of what I want to teach here a little bit, is to be steadfast and unmovable. We need to find that rock, Jesus Christ. We need to find his way and then just walk in it. As we hear the dear brother and sister that had a 40th wedding anniversary and the testimony of the people of them, and I thank God for that. That's what we need. We should all aspire at the end of our lives that we could have that testimony, that that we were steadfast. And a lot of things will come against us in those times. I would like to go through some things in our lives and encourage us to continue on in the faith. I was just thinking this morning, I've been blessed in my personal life. Often I think of the life of Enoch. There was a man that he had a testimony at the end of his life that he pleased God. You know, it wasn't just his beginning that God was pleased with, but he had a testimony through his life that he pleased God. And that can be all of us here, young and old, from 3-4-year-olds to us older people, that should be our heart, that whatever we do in life, that my testimony that's coming forth, it says of an elder that he should have a good report from within and without. And that should be all of us, that we have a good report. And God will bless that. He will certainly bless that. I would like to go to, I was going to read just here in chapter 11, just for a little foundation, a couple men of faith. I touched on this because I think faith is one of the biggest ingredients in our Christian life. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, this is in Hebrews 11, verse 1 through 10. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. You know, sometimes in our life, things aren't always spelled out. But there are points in our life God is putting his finger on. Will you trust me? Will you just do as my word commands you and trust me? I will lead you. It might take a year. It might take 2 years for things to work out, and maybe longer. But God wants us to be that in our day. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in a tabernacle with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And I'll just stop there. I think it's just a good thought for all of us that should be our heart. As we travel through this life, we need to earn a living. We have challenges of this, that, and the other. But our focus should be, we're looking for a city whose foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's heaven. And I would like to turn to Revelations 2:4 as a foundation of our faith. This is what we need to pursue. And I believe this is what was renewed as we often stepped out of the settings that we were in. The focus became refocused. And this is what we need to maintain. I believe one of the essential ingredients in our Christian life is in chapter 2, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Christ was saying here, because thou hast left thy first love. All that we do in this life needs to be because we have a Savior that loved us enough to save us and give his life on the cross so that I can have a true living hope as I travel through this life. But if I forget to make him the focal point of all that I do, then we will go astray once again, I believe. That we would continue to do all that we do because of Jesus Christ in our lives, as we know that the church of Ephesus lost its first love. And I believe it's just an example that he gave us here. And God, Jesus reprimanded him for that. And I believe the settings that most of us came from, I think that did happen. Jesus was a word in our house as I grew up, was very seldom spoken. And I know there's also the other side of the coin that Jesus says that, why call ye me Lord, Lord? We're just talking about Jesus all the time, but yet our lives don't come into line with his will. And it's just as God doesn't desire that either. But let's not be afraid to talk about Jesus and what he has done for us, that our children and all of us could be strengthened as we invite him, as we gather. I'm so blessed in our new settings that we can include him as we gather for a fellowship meal on an evening, on a Sunday, or whenever it is. God is in our midst because we invite him there, and I just thank the Lord that he changed our hearts, and we can pray together corporately. We're not ashamed of those things. So let's go to Ephesians 5:33. I just had a verse there. I'll read the verse and then I have a few comments. Nevertheless, let every one of you, these are some points that I liked. There's many points that we need to be steadfast in our Christian life. These are a few I think the Lord just laid in my heart that I believe are foundational. If these things don't continue, there's very little chance that any of us in our offspring will make it and endure to the end as God commands us. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. The reason why I believe these are foundational is that whenever a marriage is broken up, there is destruction beyond all measure. And I believe some of you could testify of that as I heard of those things happening. As the world continues to not value marriage, that we would be steadfast and diligent and continue to exalt it and glorify God with our marriages, that that work as he has commanded us. And that was a verse I just think is instrumental. As we as men, we go forward and we take a lot of the responsibility, and God commands us to do that. But we need encouragement from our spouses. And encouragement comes through just a reverential attitude. It's so encouraging to a man as he comes home from work and he's maybe discouraged, things didn't go too well. But as a wife reverence her husband, just in little things, it builds him up and helps him to go on. And we husbands, that we just love our wives, really, and not just in some ways, but in all ways, that we would love them. I believe that's one way that we can be steadfast, is to pursue that each day. We'll go on to 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9, or 1 through 9, I'd like to read. I'll read it and then I'll have a few comments again here. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, he says here. Paul is this, or Peter, an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight, therefore, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples of the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, and all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There he mentions steadfast, and I was just blessed by that as I was pondering some verses I could share. But steadfastness, you know, It's an important part of our Christian life. It's not just a good beginning. Young people, you need to enter in. If you don't enter in, there's no hope for your soul. But as you enter in, pursue God and follow Him diligently. And some of the things that we can do, I believe, it says here, I was blessed this morning, the brother lifted up the elders here. If we have born-again men, and they are born again, and they are godly, and they are walking with the Lord, it's easy, if we're Christians, to follow them, and we should. Because they are set here in our midst to bring a blessing to the house, the children of the Lord, because authority is not a bad word. It's a good word. And if they're godly men, you can be so blessed just to give your heart to following their lead. And I was going to mention just a few thoughts on sobriety. Continue to live sober and righteous lives as parents. I believe we as parents, and even myself, we have two children that still live with us at home. But sober parents, it's okay. We heard yesterday that we can enjoy some laughter and fellowship together, but not foolishness. There's a difference. You know, there's things that happen in our lives that are humorous, and we can enjoy around the supper table a little laughter, but not foolishness of any kind. That we could lead our children by example. Sobriety and seriousness is so important to help our children walk with God, I believe. As I have observed lives and how God commands us not to be foolish, I believe that's a very important ingredient to, as we parents can impart to our children, that this life is a sober, serious proposition that we're undertaking. We only get one chance to go through it. And if we're otherwise, then they pick up a message from us, and I believe it will have consequences. And another thought here, I was just thinking, we heard about obedience this morning. As we get older, authority, I just maybe getting ahead of myself a little here, but I see this chapter. As we get older, we appreciate authority even more. Just think of what this world would be if we wouldn't have stop signs, just a few basic things. We wouldn't have the laws of the land to help govern and keep things orderly. We hear in Haiti, they just run through the stop signs. There's no obedience of any kind. It's chaos. And that's, it says here in verse 5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto your elder. It's not that you're dumb, as we're younger than other people, any of us, but we can always learn from experience. And we're a wise person if we can learn from others' mistakes as they have traveled through life and apply that to my own life. I can be wise in the things of God or the things of this earth, and we can learn. It says, submit yourselves. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. I believe this is such an important ingredient to endure and be diligent until the end, is that we pursue these things. It's not our flesh that wants to do that. We need to bring that by God's grace into subjection. And humility is a choice. As we travel through life, we can choose to be humble, or we can choose to be otherwise. Young people, you can choose to be cocky. You can choose to be not hear your dad and mom. But one day, God won't bless that. He will resist that. And that's for all of us, no matter what age we've obtained. I was just thinking, James 2:5. I don't know. I haven't shared a main message in some time. I may just spend a few more minutes here in this chapter before I move on here. But as I think of the importance of humility in the body of Christ, I think it's such a blessing. As we walk with each other, we all have different personalities, and I'm not lifting up any ungodliness in any man, but we all are a little different in how we're God made us, and sometimes that brings a little rubbing of things and thoughts in our life, but God asks us just to give grace to one another in those things. If they're not sin, we all have a little different approach as we travel through life, and I believe I'll stop there. I'll go to James 2:5. As I often think, I was a young man growing up, early married, and I observed, my wife had a rich uncle, and I had a rich uncle too. And we all desire to earn money, and God requires us men to go out and earn the bread and bring home money to take care of our families, and I'm not advocating that we not do that, that we should pursue it. It's godly. But if we go to the extreme in that, there's a curse there. I truly believe that. As our children grow up, it says here, I'll read verse 5, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" And we can interpret that as rich in faith, but I would feel that's just an earthly interpretation there. The rich man has very little need of depending on God day by day. And I believe that's their downfall. And that's why God commands us not to pursue riches. I believe God has granted that thus far in my Christian life. I know I ask God, as I observe my uncles on my wife's side and also on my side of the family, the destruction that came to their families. And they were just men that drove the work to an idol status. And their families were not blessed. So I ask the Lord that he would give me neither poverty nor riches. And I believe if we're going to be steadfast and diligent to the end of our life, money can't be a thing that rules us. We need to rule that thing as anything else in our life. And young men, I was just thinking today, I was just marveling at, when I was a young man, I know what I started out in my hourly wage and what use are worth today if you're a hard worker and honest and get something done. You can earn a lot of money, but be careful with that because just tuck it away. One day you'll need it. If you ever are married, you can buy a property. Everything costs so much in our day, and you can be blessed if you're just diligent with that money that the Lord allows you to earn in your young life. And so just a thought there. Beyond what we need, our children need to work also. This is, I believe, one of God's ways of shaping us. If we as parents have so much money that our children just really don't need to be diligent in their work life, I don't believe it's good for them. I believe it's godly that we need to get up mornings and we pursue work, and it gives us a discipline in life to maintain a job. It's all good. It's all part of God's way of putting us through things as we earn a living that he can touch us a little bit here and there. And we can feel our need for him to kneel in prayer and ask him to help us. It's all one way that God can use as he works in our life. So, I did get ahead of ourselves a little bit. Did I read in Hebrews? I think I did. But I had a few thoughts here I walked was going to share. Hebrews 11 has such a strong emphasis on the importance of faith. Many in our day stress only what Jesus has done for us, but Enoch walked with God and he was translated. He pleased God. So a Christian life needs to have that element in it if we're going to be steadfast and diligent to the end. It can't just be a glory, glory, Jesus saved me, and now I'm on my way to heaven, but our lives are just a wreck in every way. I often told my wife, I really don't need to hear too much testimony of godly people. It's not all in the scene, we know that, but also the scene is very important. As we see a godly family walk into a church room, we can hear their we can see their testimony quite quickly. But I also believe that we need to cultivate our need for God in everything in our day. Need for God, everything in our day is so secure that we really don't need to pray in faith. Let's set our lives up so that we need God actually allow areas in our lives that can be that he can touch us. And I touched a little on that in different areas of finance there, but I believe that's important. As we travel through life, let's continue to depend on God, no matter how old we are. As our children leave the home, you know, there's a pulling and a tugging in our hearts. We hate to see them go, but yet we know it's biblical that they are married, and it's a blessing. And as we see our grandchildren grow up and they're walking in their young faith, it's a blessing. But we can still pursue God, and we can pursue God on their behalf. We can pursue God that we can remain faithful and be a good testimony and light to them. There's never no point in our life that we can't feel a need for the one that created us. So I just was going to share a few words on the young people. Young men and women, be steadfast and diligent in your walk with the Lord Jesus. It's a time in our life that we have many challenges. We're growing through our puberty. We're taking through all those changes in our personal lives. We're maybe seeking thoughts. God is giving us some thoughts as we grow older about who could be our partner. But we still need to maintain that vibrant life and in a walk with the one that created us. And one day your parents will not be around. So I just had a few verses in Ecclesiastes that I thought would go with that. Ecclesiastes 12:1. I didn't mark them in my Bible, but I wrote them down here. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. What an important time that is. It's shaping your whole life as you're starting out in this journey of life. Just allow your church and your father and mother to be a blessing to you. Don't resist it. Don't resent it. Because God instituted it that way, that you'd have years of molding and shaping. And if you resist that, God will pull the blessing away from your life. Just allow your father and mother to speak into your life, and you'll be so richly blessed. I just see it. I see young people that we have known in the past, and that has not happened, and it's not a good sight. So I just encourage yous. You only have a few years, and they'll soon be gone. Say you joined the youth group at 15, 16, 5, 6 years, you're married, and it's just a time that God can help you form your life in a positive way. Because this is the conclusion of the whole matter. You go to the last verses in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I know we all know these verses, but it's good that we just hear them again. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And it's just so simple there. It's not hard to understand. It's not theology. It's just it should be in the New Testament, I believe, instead of the Old. But the Old has many good things that we can glean. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Let's not kid ourselves. God knows my thoughts. He knows your thoughts. And you're young or old. If there's evil in our heart, in our God knows that. And if we're not walking in a truth with God, there won't be a blessing there. And I just share a little our apprehensions. As we grew up, we sought partners in a dark old shed where we'd gather, hearing ungodly music and doing all kinds of ungodly things. And what a darkness that was. But now today, we've seen the light of God's will for our lives and our young people. And what a blessing it is that we can seek partners in a holy manner. And as I was one apprehension that I had as a father, our oldest son was about 16 when the Lord called us to leave where we were and seek other fellowship. And I was thinking, how is this going to work out? You know, you think that's so elementary that I didn't trust God enough that just leave it in his hands. But I did, but yet in my heart I was having some second thoughts. And how is this going to work out? How will he find a partner? And so, you know, there was no other choice but just to trust the Lord. And God worked it all out. He has a beautiful wife today, and God is able to do above and beyond what we even ask or think. And he is. He is. But we need to trust him. We need to just allow him to lead us as we travel through this life. And he will if we're willing. So that word of encouragement to you, young people, there's nothing out there in the world. As we see the world unraveling, it's not only divorce and remarriage. It's all the things of debauchery that God just truly hates. Men with men and women with women. They're just, as we give Satan our finger, he takes a couple more and he takes our hand. One day, that's the end of all those things. And finally, as Brother Henry and I were visiting this morning, we wonder why is the government, and we don't want to complain about our government, but we see so many things that are just so out of line, from finances to many things. But God, when man refuses to follow him for so long, he finally gives them over to a mind that cannot even think good things, cannot make good choices. And that's the end of an ungodly life. And Jesus said, I came to give you an abundant life. And that's what he wants for you and I. He wants us to have that rich life that is in Christ, but we need to be willing to follow him as we travel through life. I probably won't take all my time here today. I didn't know how much that I would need to share. But I do believe sometimes if messages are short, maybe we remember them a little better. I know Brother Henry's been such a blessing to my life. As we were attending our current fellowship and first few Sundays, I don't know when he came, but I do remember the message that he taught us there that Sunday. And it was a blessing to my life. And I seen someone that I trusted in the midst of all that turmoil. So we can be a blessing in ways that we don't always understand as we are willing to serve the Lord. And I bless Brother Henry for that. I would just like to, I touched a little on this, but I think it's such a need in our time. As we think, why was Satan cast out of heaven? There was one thing, he rebelled against God. And that's still in that the man of flesh is a rebellious creature. And as we bring that flesh into subjection to God's will and spirit, we will become otherwise other than rebellion. Children, that's why your parents occasionally need to spank you, because you were born with that Adamic spirit and that rebellion in your heart. And by God's grace, as they paddle you, maybe from time to time, I believe you can understand that and still have a paddling given to you. But don't resist that. It's good. It'll be good for your soul one day. And I just thought I'd talk a little bit about our corporate lives. I've seen such an unraveling in our settings over the years. So many churches that you heard that just fell apart. And it's so unsettling to the people that observe us in our world around us. Our corporate lives are very important because this is the most visible entity that God can put upon earth is a body of Christ. And they seen your lives out here yesterday. And don't think for a moment just serving of food and the things that we do that are earthly, but through them, people see and observe who we are. And God is glorified in that. I know there are many areas of life to be steadfast in, but I chose personal in our church life today. I'm not ordained, so I have liberty to talk a little more about that. I believe as ordained people, they don't like to talk on these subjects a lot, but as a layman, I just see the blessing of godly leadership, and I spoke a little about that earlier. Sometimes God gives us thoughts and we don't always go in line, and that's good. I want the Lord to have his way with me today. So I don't believe that we can underestimate the importance of the local body of Christ. I spoke a little about that a minute ago, but let's look to Revelation 19, 7. I just had a few verses in there. I always like to just use the Bible as much as we can as we have thoughts from the Lord. 19:7. This is where God sees the corporate body. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And that wife is depicted in Revelations as the church of Jesus Christ. There's many churches out here, and many have not made Christ their centerpiece and have fallen away from that. But if we have done that, we are the bride of Christ, and we are working together to make ourselves ready for when Jesus returns. As we work together, we bless our children. As we don't speak evil of the ministry, we bless the children. We're all human. I'm a human. And I'm not yet perfect in the flesh, but I strive after. But our leaders aren't always perfect either. You know, they may make a little misjudgment, and let's just give them grace. Because if we see the whole realm of their life as they're trying to serve God in the fullness, and they're born again, as I touched on earlier, let's just honor that, because, you know, they're just human. And as we go through life, we do make mistakes. And I believe as parents, we can testify of that. So that bride is what we're pursuing today, is to be ready when Jesus returns. And I just think of that beautiful morning when Christ is going to return, the heavens are going to open. I had that verse memorized too. And I didn't think of it until right now, but if maybe one of you could help me out, that I was thinking, when he returns, the heavens will open, and the dead in Christ shall rise with him. And we that are alive and remain shall, in a twinkling of an eye, I don't have all the words, but what a pinnacle that's going to be one day. I don't know if that's the rapture. It appears to be. I don't dig too deeply in that, but I believe sometime in God's plan, his faithful church, his bride, he will come for them, and that will happen. And what a glorious morning that is. Children, get a glimpse of that as you start out in your Christian life, young people here that committed to the local body, what a blessing. You know, you think maybe that isn't anything that we commit to the local body. But what other entity in life? I know people that resist that. They have an aberration against committing to the local body of Christ. And why is that? We wouldn't be a part of any other group. I don't care where you go. Somehow you commit to that group in some form or another. If you're part of there's a lot of groups out here in our mainstream society. And somehow you make a commitment. And I believe that's good for us as a personal, that we open our lives up to the brethren here, and we just make a verbal commitment. I think there's power in that. So we turn to Ephesians 5:25. This is another one of Christ and the church, but he uses the husband and wives here also. Ephesians 5:25 and 27. 5:25 through 27. Here again, I know it's repetitious, but husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. That's our goal as we travel through this life, that our lives would be just that, that we would not have spot or wrinkle in our corporate life or in our personal life. As we have our business dealings, we go about and we do jobs for people, no matter what it is, that we could walk away and they could have a good taste in their mouth of us or in their thoughts of us. It's such an important thing if we profess Christ. In a church, I believe that's why God... the setting where we came from, impurity before marriage was very, very common. We had a courtship that was not pure. God forbid. But these are things, I'll give you a little story. We had a man that was a Catholic. Comes to my thoughts this morning, right now, but we don't agree with how they serve the Lord, and we don't believe that it's biblical. But yet they have a sense of what is morally right. And my wife grew up in a little different area about 5 miles away, and she had some neighbors there, and they had children that he was familiar with. And many of these children had a wedding that was not started out in purity. And he just about couldn't believe this, that we as a people, the group that we was with, that their children, he had two children, and it didn't happen to his children. But we, as God's chosen people, there's a calling to be pure and holy. And the young people, you have a part in that, to bring glory to God with your courtships. And it's so important. And it all begins right up here. As the young children were around here, as you learn to obey your parents, if you obey them when you're young, when you don't walk across the river when mom says not to, one day you'll see the need to obey them in many other things that they will teach you as you go on in life. And that's one of those things. We're bringing glory to God with our lives. So I treasure that verse, without spot or wrinkle. I just aspire to that we could all just pursue that. And it takes a steadfast life. As the dear brother and sister, let's say they've been steadfast for 40 years, and my wife and I, we've been steadfast for 35 years. But what happens if somehow next year we're not steadfast? That's the importance of steadfastness, and that we don't stumble next year. It's only by God's grace that I can continue to be steadfast. But we need to be willing and walk with God as Enoch did, if we're going to be steadfast until the end. So hopefully it's been an encouragement to you all. I just thank God for this beautiful group of people that he has brought together. And we've been brought together by one thing. We read the other night, a brother had a devotional at our prayer meeting on Wednesday night. He read in Romans. I was looking for that passage. I couldn't find it this morning. But it says we've been brought nigh by the blood of the Lamb. That's what brings us together. We are walking with people today that I never knew 17 years ago. We didn't know them. I have a brother today that's here. I mean, I never knew him. But today I know him because of Christ. And what a beauty that is. Submission and humility are very close. When you see a non-humble person, he will very well be unsubmissive. I believe it just goes hand in hand. By our fruits, we shall know each other. And so, God help us that we have that fruit that is of Christ. And we often, I don't know who was saying it, we had a wedding there at our fellowship the other Saturday. I heard someone talking. I don't know who it was anymore. Can't think. But anyways, I'll just give an example. Young people, you know, if you're in God's will, young men, I know there's temptations that we all face as we travel through life. We like a lot of power. You know, the truck of our day. Can we see what man is doing in all the vehicles that are made, especially trucks? I often think of that. It's all about power and might, and they make them ever bigger every year. But, you know, let's not pursue that, because if we got God in our life, in Christ in our life, we are all powerful. We don't need to have power in other ways. And I know there's need for power. I'm not against that. So let's go to 1 Peter 5:9. 5:9. Did I read that yet? I don't believe I did. 1-9. I'm going to read that there. Just a blessing. I asked the Lord just to give me thoughts. Last Sunday, we have a small farm, and if you have animals, there's a lot of unexpected things. In that, I often pray that things would go well, but sometimes God allows things to try us a little and stretch us. And this past week, we had a cow that had a calf. This is pretty earthly, but that's okay. I'll share it with you. And then somehow during the birth, she was paralyzed, but she was not sick. And I look at that very closely. I don't want to eat something that in my mind has been sick. So she was not sick. She was just paralyzed. And she was struggling to get up on Sunday a week ago. And she was able to move herself. And in that, I can see that they're not sick, but there's something other wrong. So I didn't give her anything that would inhibit us from butchering her. But Monday morning, we butchered her. And the local butcher shop was not willing to take it at this time. He's not open. So we had made a little cool room in the spring in one of our buildings, because we have those emergencies. You have a nice animal, and you need to get them cooled down. If you butcher them, you can't just butcher them. So we made a room that we could cool them off. And we got her in there on Monday morning. We butchered her, or hung her up, we call it. And then the past week, a week later, we tried to cut the meat up, and that's what we did. So it was a stretching week. But you don't like to leave it go over 10 days, because it's not, 10 days of aging is about right for meat. So God stretched us a little there, and during that I was just asking him each morning to give me a few thoughts. So I'll read this. This was a blessing that he brought to my thoughts also as we live our Christian life. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God didn't set us on this journey and did give us the means to end well if we follow him. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. I am reading wrong here. I was in 5:9, 1-9. I am sorry. I want to read that, though. I did read that earlier, didn't I? So I repeated myself. Sorry about that. But we are all under authority. I'll just stop there. I wasn't intending to read that as part of it. I was in the next 2 Peter there. We're all under authority at work, church, civil, and others. I have heard said that if you are self-employed, that you are not your own boss. Not true. So we are all under authority. I think I touched on that a little earlier. We have known people who could not submit, and their lives and families are a train wreck. I know I touched on that earlier, but that's what I had written down here. I'm glad God just brought my thoughts together earlier. I have not shared new things today. It's just a new messenger, and I just may Christ continue to lead you into all truth. And I just bless you all. I thank God for you all, and pray for us as we journey in our life, that we could be steadfast in our local body of Christ. And God bless you. I may have not taken all the time, but I'm thankful that the Lord gave me what I had to say here. So the Lord bless you all.